Good afternoon. We thank God for our women's chorus. Can you give them another hand for their wonderful music today? I'm so happy to be able to serve at this time in my life and ministry with such wonderful Christian people. Christian people here at Ebenezer Third Baptist Church and who are a part of our WMU. When Linda Ellison stands here and talks about mission, she's talking about her passion. She's talking about what comes out of her soul and what she lives. And I thank God for serving with her. Give her a hand. Wonderful message. Thank you for planning and preparing us for this Fifth Sunday missions service. I want to read from the Gospel of Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, the New International Version, a familiar text. We preached this text here about 8 years ago, and we want to revisit this familiar story, Luke 19, 1 through 10. And the text says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree, fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The word of the Lord. Home visit. Title of my message. When I pastored St. John Church Baptist in Chicago, we started a daytime mission Bible class. And we decided to use the class as a vehicle to minister to seniors in their homes. Instead of asking seniors to come to the church for Bible study, we set up Bible study visits in homes. We developed a list of our homebound seniors and made a schedule for visits. We didn't want food. We told each senior, we don't want you to serve us food or any beverages. We just want to do Bible study. And so when we would get to each home each week, we had a short devotional period. One of the mission members would lead us in devotion. And then I would teach a Bible lesson. And then after that lesson, we would have a discussion on the lesson and end with a special prayer for that member and for that home. It was about an hour visit each week. And it was a great experience for our seniors and for those of us who led the Bible study each week. Sometimes other family members would be home. Sometimes they would join the Bible study. Sometimes they'd be in another room. Sometimes a caregiver had to get our member ready to join us and to participate. Sometimes we'd get to the home and the member was not ready, and so we had to wait until they were prepared to come and join us. But it was a wonderful experience for me and for our mission members. Our thinking was at that time, a person can't always get to Bible study to the church, but the church and Bible study can get to them. And it was a blessing to share that ministry with our members. And those were intentional home visits. We did hundreds of them during the time that after we started when I was there. Those were intentional home visits. They were not random visits. They were intentional visits. Well, some of the neighborhoods from the mission sisters would say, well, Reverend, we don't know if we want to go over there. We don't want to be in Inglewood. They're doing a lot of shooting over in Inglewood. I said, well, come on, let's go. But they were intentional visits. Our text today in Luke presents a home visit. It can be construed as a random visit when you look on the surface of the text, something that is arranged on the spot. But I think there is some intentionality behind this home visit. You see, I think that God orchestrates encounters as an outflowing of divine grace. You think you just bumped into somebody. You think it's just a coincidence. But actually, God is standing behind the shadows, keeping watch above his own, orchestrating encounters as an outflowing of divine grace. I think that's what happens here. Jesus is passing through Jericho. According to the Gospels, Jesus follows the route to Jerusalem. He's headed to Jerusalem eventually, that goes through Jericho, and he's passing through town, just passing through. But his reputation precedes him. And even before he enters the city, he meets blind Bartimaeus on the side of the road and restores his sight. But he enters the city. The crowds are following him into the city as he passes through the city. And in that crowd is a man named Zacchaeus. And I think, beloved, God, that Jesus presents a veritable clinic, a clinic on evangelism, Jackie. What he does here is a clinic, a workshop. You see, in this story, Zacchaeus is interested, but things are complicated. Listen to the text. It says, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. He was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short and he could not see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Luke tells us a lot about this man. He tells us his name, Zacchaeus. He tells us his occupation, chief tax collector. He tells us his economic status. He is rich. He is wealthy. And this man wants to see Jesus. He is interested in seeing who Jesus is. We don't know why Zacchaeus is interested in seeing Jesus, but I think it's important to note that he is interested. At least he's interested in something, right? In seeing Jesus. But there are complications. Zacchaeus is a tax collector, and according to Luke, he's a chief tax collector. Perhaps that means he's over a district, a whole district, or he's over a group of tax collectors. But Zacchaeus is in a business that is offensive to his people. And because it's offensive to the Jewish community, he is excluded from the community. And the community considers him to be ceremonially unclean. So this is not somebody people want to hang out with. And he's to be avoided at all costs. And that Zacchaeus is wealthy suggests that he suggests his complicity with the unsavory practices of tax collectors. Zacchaeus is interested, but there are complications. And there's a crowd. There's a crowd and a height issue. Zacchaeus can't see Jesus because of a height issue. And it isn't that Zacchaeus is short, or is it that Jesus is short? Traditionally, people will say it's Zacchaeus, but the Greek allows for the plausibility of Jesus being short. It could have been Jesus was short and blocked by the crowd. It could have been that Zacchaeus is short and he couldn't see over the crowd. Either way, there is a height issue that complicates things. So when you think about Zacchaeus, he's a tax collector. He's excluded from the community. He might be short. He is wealthy. Those things constitute his particularity. Those things let you know who he is, what what his, who he is in life, his particularity. Zacchaeus is interested, but his particularity gets in the way of seeing Jesus. Evangelism can become complicated because of one's particularity. Folk might be interested in seeing Jesus, but their social, economic, political particularity blocks them from seeing Jesus and making a connection with Jesus. And as I say, Luke doesn't tell us why Zacchaeus wants to see him. Some folk aren't motivated by faith. Some folk just want to see. And some want to see and be seen. Come on, somebody. They're not motivated by faith. He didn't say he was motivated by faith. He's interested, but things, his particularity has made things complicated. I had a member, not here, who shared her faith journey with me when I visited her home. She was ill at that time, and she told me that for a long time, she was reluctant about joining the church. And I asked her why. And she said, "Pastor, I always believed in God, but you see, my husband and I owned a liquor store, and that was how we made our living. And I knew that the folk in the church might not understand. And you know the church covenant talks about abstaining from the sale and use of intoxicating drinks as a beverage." And she said, "And we were selling intoxicating drinks to make a living and take care of our family. And I didn't think that I would be accepted by the church because of the business we were in." This woman was saying to me, she was interested, but she had complications. And so we've got to be aware of a person's particularity and discern whether their particularity gets in the way of faith. It might be a single mother who is interested but feels that she's going to be ridiculed because she comes to church with a baby and not a husband in tow. It might be a person who doesn't have the right clothes to wear to church. They don't want to go to Ebenezer because those middle class folk at Ebenezer are wearing suits, dresses, and hats on Sunday. I'm not talking about y'all. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. Sometimes a person's particularity gets in the way. It might be a transportation issue. So Zacchaeus is interested, but there are complications. But then Jesus initiates the connection. The text says, "So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today.'" The Greek of that is stronger than the English conveys. "I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now, Zacchaeus does go beyond mere interest. He runs ahead of the crowd, climbs onto a tree so that he can see Jesus. That's more than mere interest. In Jesus' day, it is considered undignified for a grown man to run. It is also unlikely that a man of status will climb a tree. But Zacchaeus opens himself to ridicule for his actions, but he does indicate more than interest. He makes the effort to see Jesus. So you might think that Zacchaeus is orchestrating the connection, but no, it is Jesus who initiates the connection. He looks up and calls Zacchaeus by name. How does he know his name? Divine intentionality. This isn't on my paper. I want you to know God knows your name. Doesn't matter. Don't matter where you are on the planet. Don't matter where you are in life. God knows your name. He knows his name. Divine intentionality. Jesus says, "I must stay at your house." And the Greek really says it more strongly. It's a divine necessity. It's a need. It's a necessity for me to come by your house for a visit. Zacchaeus just wants to see. But Jesus has his own intentions. Jesus wants to connect. He takes ministry to Zacchaeus despite Zacchaeus's particularity. He knows that he is a tax collector. He knows that he is wealthy, and Jesus, despite his particularity, makes the connection anyway. He reaches out to Zacchaeus and launches his own motivation. So don't worry whether a person comes to church or to an event for the wrong motivation. They might not be motivated by faith, but you remain on purpose with your intentions and your motivation. Jesus had his own connection. He reaches out and launches his own purpose. Not everybody is motivated by faith, but we, the church, have to be on point with our purpose. We have to know what is right to do in all situations. Somebody said, the only reason why you came to church is you're trying to find a husband. Okay. Come looking for a husband. Or you come, the only way you come, because those young girls are there. Okay, yeah. They might come with the wrong motivation. That doesn't mean that you have to have the wrong purpose when you interact with them. I'm proud of Reverend Spears and our young adults. They understand the importance of making a connection. They know that the message of the gospel remains the same, but the methods for communicating the message have to shift from time to time, from generation to generation, from time to time in certain places. The experience that they launched last Wednesday is a shift in method. They called it redefining worship, but it really is shifting the message. In order to make a connection, different songs, different formats. You know, when I went over there after our Bible study, the lights were sort of, it was sort of dim in there. You know, oh, I'm old. Turn the light on. Let me see. I need a light on. I don't want to trip over anything. Young folk, connect with that. Lighting is important. Songs are important. The kind of sermon is important to make a connection with young people. And then they had these QR codes to register for. Y'all know what QR codes? You see that? You see, that's technology. Boom, boom, boom. They got QR codes to register folks to sign them in. So you take your phone, get your camera, your smart device, and you know, y'all do that. We do it at the airport all over. A QR code. They didn't have no sign up sheets. Get your little pen and paper out and your sign up sheet to register somebody. That's old school. And even these QR codes have been out a long time. They are becoming old school. But that's what they had in order to make a connection. We have to be willing to make a connection. And despite Zacchaeus' particularity, Jesus initiates a connection with him. He makes the effort to get in reach of Zacchaeus. A lesson in evangelism. Shifting your method. One more thing and I'm done. Thank you, team. A transformation takes place in this house. The text says, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house. This man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. I'm glad that Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house. Hear the response of the crowd. They're muttering, saying he's going to be the guest of a sinner. What an indictment that you're hanging out with sinners, folk who need Jesus. Help me, Holy Ghost. Jesus is hanging out with folk excluded by the community. Sometimes, and I'm glad he made the home visit, he takes Zacchaeus from the crowd to his home. Sometimes you got to get away from the crowd. And sometimes you need a private conversation to lead folk to faith. And sometimes you're at the church doing ministry, or you're at the street doing ministry, and the folk around you are muttering too much. Look at what they're doing. Look at and all kinds of stuff. Get away from the people. Get away from the muttering. Have a private conversation that leads a person to salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus teaches what he has taught his disciples in Luke chapter 10 about going to the houses and doing what is right. Crowd criticizes Jesus for going to the home of a known sinner. A known sinner. Everybody knows you're a crackhead, a whoremonger. Y'all don't know that word, right? That's a Chicago word. Everybody knows that. Hang out. Yeah. A known sinner. And they're saying, in effect, if Zacchaeus is unclean, ceremonial unclean, then Jesus going to his house becomes ceremonially unclean. And Jesus does not care. Because sometimes you've got to get dirty in order to get in reach of somebody. If they're in the pig pen, rummaging around in the mud, and you're going to rescue them from the pig pen, you've got to expect to get some mud on your clothes, some dirt on you for trying to reach out to somebody. Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house, and a transformation occurs. And I think it occurs even before he gets to the house, because in verse 6, the text says, so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Zacchaeus, the Greek says, Zacchaeus welcomes Jesus with rejoicing. So he hops down out of this tree joyfully. He's rejoicing. He's happy to share table fellowship with Jesus. And then Zacchaeus decides to do what is right. He will give half his wealth to the poor. He will pay restitution even more than what is required. He will change his business plan. That's transformation. Anytime you get a businessman to change his business plan and give up half his money, then you know something has changed in that person. But that's what can happen when you let Jesus come by your house. That's what can happen when Jesus makes a connection with somebody. I'm trying to wrap it. I'm almost done. Now, Jesus isn't trying to teach a lesson about home evangelism. He's teaching a lesson about using any vehicle necessary to make a connection. Going to the home is just one approach. But too often in the church, we've been guilty of the waiting on them to come to us approach. Sitting at church, being stationary, and saying, okay, they're going to come in and come to us. And there is what Jesus is doing is taking it to them approach. He's teaching about going to get in reach of folk. So Jesus going to Zacchaeus' house is both literal and symbolic. It's literal in the sense he actually does a home visit. It is symbolic in that he demonstrates the importance of using whatever you can do to make a connection. So Zacchaeus' home is just a point of contact. And the point of contact can be any place. It can be the Family Life Center. It can be the parking lot. It can be a break room at work. It can be your basement. It could be the grocery store. It's just a point of contact. And the message is, find a point of contact and use that point of contact to introduce somebody to a man named Jesus Christ. I'm done. I said that already. Okay, I was trying. Pastor visits a man who is seriously ill. I've shared this story with you before. He goes to the hospital to visit his man. He's seriously ill. The man is alert, but he's unresponsive to the pastor. Pastor talks for a while, prays for the man, and then leaves. The pastor continues the visit, the same visit, basically. He talks for a while, prays for the man. Man is unresponsive, and then leaves. Pastor notices that the room is usually dark. And he tries to bring some light into the room. He goes in. One day he opens up the drapes in the room to let some light in the room. Man is not responsive, but there's light in the room. And then the next visit, the pastor says, I'm going to bring him some of these petunias from my garden. And he brings an arrangement of petunias and places them in the room. And the man begins to open up, but still not too responsive. And then one day the pastor decides to bring some pork chops and shares the pork chops with the man. And the man becomes more and more responsive. He's not as cold as he was, but he hadn't warmed up completely. And then one day, the pastor visits, and the room is empty. And he inquires about the man. It turns out the man has died. And the man has also instructed the nurse to give the pastor a message. He says, when the pastor shows up, I want you to let him know that I gave my life over to God. And he says, I want you to tell the pastor it wasn't just what he told me about Christ and faith that made the difference for me. It was also those petunias and those pork chops. They were a sign of care and concern. He said, that warmed my heart and made me receptive for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whatever it takes, use that to get in reach of people for the kingdom of God. I like the last phrase of your theme, pray for missions. And she talked about prayer. We need to pray. Pray for wisdom to discern another's particularity. So you don't judge people. Just say, that's their particular. This is on my paper. And God forgive me, a young man came to the church a few Sundays ago. And the Haitian guy, if you remember, he had a hat on. And I grew up in a generation where minionists, chauvinistic, whatever, I know, didn't wear hats in buildings. You had to take your hat off. Woman wear hat. And I know that's chauvinistic. I was tempted to turn around to the young man and do my hand like that, like take your hat off, but the Spirit wouldn't let me. Because not wearing a hat in the sanctuary is my particularity. He's got a different particularity. Pray for wisdom to discern another's particularity. And pray for wisdom to know whether that particularity gets in the way of faith. What's blocking them? We're going out for these 18 to 35 year olds. What's blocking them? We've got to find out what's blocking them and try to move some of these blockages out of the way to clear a path for faith. Pray for the power to operate with purpose despite a person's intention for coming. If they tell you, I'm just going to come to see my grandbaby give her Easter speech, you let them come to see the Easter speech. God can take an Easter speech and turn somebody's life over to Jesus Christ. Pray for wisdom to make a connection. Pray for workers to take the gospel to folk no matter where they are. Pray for willingness to say, I'll go where you want me to go. It may not be on the mountain's height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls to paths I do not know, I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. I want to extend the invitation to Christ and offer Christ to you, an opportunity to know the Christ who makes home visits. Some of you are at home right now. And you're watching us in the privacy of your own home. I want you to know it ain't that private. The Holy Ghost is right there. God is all up in your house. And he's come by to let you know that despite your particularity, despite who you are, despite where you are, there's a place for you in the kingdom of God. So won't you come? Won't you reach out to God and let him change your life? Would you stand with me in here as the deacons come? We offer Christ. right now, but still there's room. Contact us online, on Facebook, via email, and let us know what God is doing in your life. Let the church say amen. Eternal, we thank you for another Lord's Day, the blessed privilege of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for this Missions Sunday, boldly serving with faith and courage, boldly serving for the ministry of Christ. Pray for missions. Thank you, Lord, for your servant, Linda Ellison, for reminding us power and importance of prayer, praying not just for each other, for bereaved families and sicknesses and other issues, but for missions and for mission workers and for God to give power to those who have given their lives to serve him and to serve the kingdom of God. Thank you, O Lord, for teaching us about Jesus' home visit. Thank you for letting us know that Zacchaeus was interested, but things were complicated. His particularity brought complications, but Jesus initiates a connection despite his particularity. He doesn't care where he is. He makes a home visit, and a transformation occurs in that home. Lord, we've seen you do it over and over again. We've seen you do it in our families, in our communities. We know you can do it. Please give us power, power of the Holy Ghost, to go out in your name and stand on your word and make connections, oh God. Open our eyes, open our hearts that we may see and discern where there's a point of contact. And now may the blessings of God be upon each of you. May God equip you with all you need to do his will. May he lead you forth with joy and sustain you by his perfect peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated, and the ushers will come to your row and help you exit. We exit by rows. Thank you. For the darkness will turn to dawn, and the dawn into noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom's a contour. Truth and